Message. This morning's message is entitled The Last Supper and Reversing the Curse. And today we're going to take a look at the Last Supper, as well as looking at quickly at the curse which came when Adam and Eve were deceived by the serpent in the garden and ate the fruit. So that's where we're going today. But I want to begin today just by reading the scripture reference from John chapter 13, and it's 15 verses, so bear with me. But this is how it reads in chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to the Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You don't understand now what I am doing, but someday you will." "No," Peter protested, "you will never wash my feet." Jesus replied, "Unless I wash you, you won't belong to me." Simon Peter exclaimed, "Then wash my hands and head as well, Lord, not just my feet." Jesus replied, "A person who has bathed all over does not need to wash except for the feet, to be entirely clean. And you disciples are clean, but not all of you." For Jesus knew who would betray him. That is what he meant when he said, "Not all of you are clean." After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you." Now, what we have to understand is that this Passover meal that the disciples are about to engage in has taken place for a couple of thousand years at this point, or give or take. And the Passover was a remembering of what had happened in Egypt during the Exodus, as well as a looking forward to the Messiah's coming. Now, the Passover meal involved sacrifice, as the sacrifice of a lamb, and then the cooking and eating of that lamb because of where the Passover came from. For those of you who don't know this morning, during the time of Moses and the Egyptian captivity of the people of Israel, Moses went to Pharaoh and told Pharaoh that God had told him that the angel of the Lord was going to take the lives of all the firstborn sons in Egypt unless they made sacrifice and sprinkled the blood of the lamb above the door and on the doorposts of the doors. And that actually came to pass, and those who were faithful to God and who made sacrifice and put the blood of the lamb on the doorposts and above the door, their children were spared. And that was actually the final straw that had Pharaoh let the people of Israel leave Egypt. So they're celebrating this meal, this time and this event in history. But another part, as we heard in the video alluded to, another part of the Passover celebration was waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel and all of humanity as we understand it now. And so as the disciples gather to have this Passover meal, they're actually sitting with the Messiah. And yet, I don't even think that, Scripture tells us, not a thought, Scripture tells us they didn't really even understand all that was taking place at the time. So we need to look at that. And I would argue, even more so than just looking back to that the looking forward to the Messiah didn't just begin after the in that first Passover celebration, but it began way back in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. And if you're wondering why I say that, because from the very moment Adam and Eve sinned, God gave Adam and Eve a promise. So from that moment in history, humanity had been waiting for a Savior. Humanity began waiting for the Messiah, the Savior of the world, way back in the Garden of Eden. If you want to know where I get that from, it's in Genesis chapter 3 and verses 14 and 15, where it says this, "Then the Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the animals, domestic and wild. You will crawl on your belly, groveling in the dust as long as you live. And I will cause hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head, and you will strike at his heel.'" That's a prophetic word way back in Genesis of Jesus coming and defeating Satan. So we need to also look at why that promise had to be made. And it's because Adam and Eve were deceived by the serpent into eating the fruit from the tree of life, which they weren't supposed to eat from. And that brought sin into our world. It says this in chapter 3, starting at verse 1. "The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat of the fruit from any of the trees in the garden?' 'Of course we may eat fruit from the trees of the garden,' the woman replied. 'It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said you must not eat of it or even touch it. If you do, you will die.' 'You won't die,' the serpent replied to the woman. 'God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil.' The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and that the fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. At that moment, their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves." The serpent came and deceived Adam and Eve here. And he deceived them by telling them that if they ate of that fruit that they weren't supposed to, they would be like God. So Adam and Eve, in hearing that, wanted to be like God. And I can understand that from my human perspective, especially from my sinful human perspective, that when someone tells you, you can be like God, you may just want that. And so they went ahead and they ate the fruit and their eyes were opened and the curse of sin came upon humanity. And they would now die, not only spiritually, but physically as well. And so today, I want us to remember that curse that came and think about that curse that came that very first recorded eating of food from the garden. But I want you to also know today that Jesus actually came to reverse that curse, to change that curse, to turn that curse in a different direction. Jesus came to show what it meant to be like God. You see, Adam and Eve wanted to be like God, but Jesus came to show us what it is to be like God. John chapter 14, verse 8 and 9 says this, "Philip said, 'Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied.' Jesus replied, 'I have been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you?'" You see, Jesus came in order to show us God, to reveal God to us, to reveal who God is and how God acts and behaves. And in seeing Jesus and in seeing how Jesus lived his life, he was all about showing the people he came in contact with who God is and what it is to be like God. You see, eating fruit as Adam and Eve did was never going to make anybody like God. But Jesus came to show us what it was to be like God. God himself came down as a humble human being and lived among us and lived a sinless life. Jesus was showing us who God is. And the two things I want to just concentrate on as we look at this today is Jesus showed us that God is all loving. That's a simple one. We've heard it many times. There's many scriptures that talk about the love of God. One of the most famous ones that all of us have probably heard at some point in our lives is John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever would believe on him would not perish, but have eternal life." You see, God is all loving. He loves you, he loves me with everything in his being. And that's why Jesus came, was to reveal that love to us. If we go back to our script, the beginning of our reference scripture in John chapter 13, verses 1 to 5, we're going to read them again, says this: "Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end." Catch that. Jesus loved his disciples. Jesus loved the people he came in contact with. Jesus loved the people that he was ministering to. That's why he did everything he did. And I won't continue on there, the rest of the verses. But Jesus loved people. Jesus came to reveal God's love to the world. If you get nothing else out of today, understand that and take heart in that Jesus loves you. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves your neighbor, your friend, your family member. Jesus showed us that God is a loving God. Jesus also showed us that God is all sacrificing. You see, love is wonderful, but love also takes sacrifice in almost all cases. Why? Because if you love somebody, you're willing to give up for them. You are willing to put them before yourself. That's what true love is to put someone else and their best interests ahead of your own. And that's what God did in sending Jesus to us. The Father sent the Son to us as a sacrifice. He sent him to sacrifice in our place because of his love. Luke chapter 22, verses 39 to 42 say this: "Then accompanied by the disciples, Jesus left the upstairs room and went as usual to the Mount of Olives. There he told them, 'Pray that you will not give in to temptation.' He walked away about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, 'Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine.'" You see, Jesus just really didn't want to go to the cross, and I can't blame him. I wouldn't want to go to the cross. I wouldn't want to suffer what Jesus suffered prior to his death and in the hour of his death and in the moment of his death. None of us would wish that on our worst enemy, I don't believe. I hope you wouldn't wish that on someone today. But Jesus really, in his humanity, struggled with this. And yet, because of his love, he was willing to make that sacrifice. Think about the sacrifice just in total. Here's Jesus, the creator of the universe, coming down to live as one of us, to go through all the trials and temptations that we go through as human beings, and then to die a horrible death on a cross because he loves you, because he loves me. That amazes me. Every Easter, I say when I talk to people, Easter's a tough time to preach because it's the same thing. And then I get reminded, yeah, it's the same thing, but it's the most important thing. Jesus came to sacrifice for you and for me. He was willing to do that because he loves us. John chapter 19, verses 28 to 30. Jesus knew that his mission was now finished. And to fulfill the scripture, he said, I am thirsty. A jar of sour wine was sitting there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put it on a hyssop branch, and held it up to his lips. When Jesus had tasted it, he said, it is finished. Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Jesus came with one specific mission, to reveal God's love to us in his sacrifice, in his giving up of his life on the cross, to pay the penalty or the punishment for your sins, for my sins. And if you say today, Pastor, I haven't sinned, you're lying to yourself. Every one of us has sinned. I find it so funny now that I have a little granddaughter and I see some of the things she does. And she's not even two, and you kind of see sneakiness at times and some of those things that you wouldn't expect from an innocent child. But we're all born with the capacity to sin. We're all born in sin is what Scripture tells us. We don't have to be taught to do it. We don't have to be taught to tell a lie. We don't have to be taught to be angry for no reason. We don't have to be taught to be violent in some cases. Kids hit. They're not taught to hit. They hit. Kids lie. They're not taught to lie. They do it. So we're all born in sin, and yet Jesus came and died in our place to pay the punishment for our sins. And many of us have sins that are far greater than the ones I was talking about today. But we need to remember that as we celebrate today, as we think of Good Friday, as we think of Jesus' death on a cross, we need to remember that he did it for you, for me, for this entire world, for all of humanity. Jesus came, revealed the love of God in his sacrifice on the cross. Mark chapter 10, verse 45 puts it really, really succinctly for us, and it says this, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus came to serve us. Adam and Eve wanted to be like God, but Jesus showed us God. The Son of God came to reveal what it was to be like God, to be all loving and to be all sacrificing. Now today, you might be sitting there, you might be watching this, someone may have invited you to church and this is your first time. I'm not sure, maybe you've heard this message over and over again and it really hasn't gripped you. But this morning, let me tell you, God loves you. He cares for you. He sent his Son for you. All you need to do to know God's love is to accept it, to believe in faith that he loves you. And then we need to celebrate that. And we celebrate that by communion, which we're going to do, we're going to take part in just a few minutes. But we do that, first of all, in our lives by accepting Jesus into our lives. In faith, believing that he is the Son of God, that he came to earth to die for us, to show us God's love. Today, if you haven't done that in your life to this moment, I encourage you, look at the life of Jesus. Look at his love for you and accept him today. It's very simple. It doesn't take all kinds of special prayers. It literally takes a quick prayer saying, thank you, Jesus, for coming for me. I believe you're the Son of God. Thank you for dying for me. Help me to live my life for you. If you want to say that prayer today, if you want to accept Christ into your life today, We ask you to do one of two things. We're going to pray that prayer in a minute, but we ask you to text us the word love to the church phone number at 416-267-1189. Or there's a button that's, if you're on our live stream today, a button has just appeared that you can hit so that we can help you in that walk to follow Jesus. But if you want to follow Jesus today, I just ask that you pray this prayer with me right now. Father, we thank you this morning that you love us, that you sent your Son to die for us, that you sent your Son to reveal your love to us. So, Lord, as we pray this in our hearts right now, we ask you to come into our lives. We ask you to forgive us our sins. We ask you to help us to serve you with our lives from this moment forward. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer with us this morning, we're so glad you did, or I'm so glad you did. Again, text the word love to 416-267-1189, or click the button if you're watching on our live stream, and we want to follow up with you. We won't do a whole lot, but we want to know that you made that decision this morning, and we want to encourage you as you walk with Jesus from this moment forward in your lives. As we close today, we're going to take some time to celebrate together what Jesus did on the cross. We're going to do what Jesus taught us to do at that Last Supper. We're going to eat the bread and drink from the cup in celebration of what Jesus has done. And anyone that's watching right now, hopefully you prepared your emblems ahead of time. You got warning to go ahead and do that. But we're going to take those emblems and we're going to celebrate together this morning the death of Jesus. And in celebrating that, we're also celebrating the resurrection, which we will get to on Sunday morning. So we want you to be back with us. But Matthew chapter 26, as they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take this and eat it, for this is my body." And he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them and said, "Each of you drink from it, for this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many. Mark my words, I will not drink wine again until the day I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Let's take what Jesus said today. Let's take our bread. He broke it. Let's eat together in remembrance of his broken body. Thank you, Jesus. Let's also take the cup of, I have grape juice here, it's not wine, together. I'm not sure what you have this morning there, but let's take it, and as Jesus encouraged, let's drink it together in remembrance of the new covenant he created between God and us when he died on the cross. Let's drink together. As is our custom, and I don't want to do it because it's a custom, but as is our regular way of doing things here at Highway, we like to take the chance during communion and the opportunity to pray with you, pray for needs, physical, emotional, spiritual needs. So this morning we're going to take some time, and I ask you right now that as you sit there, wherever you may be, whether it's in your home, in an office, wherever, we want to pray for you. So if you have a need, even now, begin to speak that out to God and begin to tell God what you need. And we're going to pray for those needs this morning. And we're going to believe with you this morning that God will meet your need out of his riches and glory. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for this opportunity to be in your presence, for the opportunity to celebrate what you did, Jesus, when you went to the cross. We thank you that your body was broken to bring us healing. So, Lord, now we stand on your word. We stand on that promise that by your stripes we are healed. So, Lord, we claim healing this morning, God. We pray for healing this morning, God, whether it be in our physical body, whether it be an emotional healing we need this morning, Lord God. We know you are capable. We know you are listening. We know you are here with us wherever we are right now. So, Lord, we pray that by your Holy Spirit, you reach down and touch us. Touch those in need of healing this morning, Lord God. Touch minds this morning that need freedom. Touch bodies this morning that need physical healing, Lord God. Lord, we come against the enemy and the sicknesses that he brings this morning in your name, Jesus. Lord, we pray for spiritual healing this morning. Those of us who have gone astray, Lord God, your blood was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. So we stand on that forgiveness this morning and ask that you heal us in spirit today. Forgive those in need of forgiveness today. Give us a faith that you are at work. Lord, we thank you today. We thank you that you came, that you showed us the love of God, and that you made sacrifice for us. You were the sacrifice for us on the cross. Lord, help us to remember that every day and to remain thankful to you and to serve you each day of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray.